be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our sermon text will be taken from the Gospel of John. And we generally stand for a reading, but today, because there's so many children on laps, we're going to let you guys sit for this reading. We still honor God, whether we're standing, sitting, sleeping, walking, whatever we're doing, we pray we honor God. So the Gospel of John, we're going to read from chapter 1. We're going to read verses 6 through 18, reading in Jesus' name. Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not that light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which giveth light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who has come after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us, and we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak and men in flesh would be silent. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because your word is the only truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So these young individuals, they shared a story, an account with you about the light of this world. And really, that was the main theme behind all of their message. And we come into this room. In fact, if I was to turn around and shut off all these lights in here, I'd probably get a lot of elders, if not even some middle-aged, and even some younger ones saying, "I can't see the books, I can't see something." So we turn lights on. For what purpose? But to reveal. And that is really the emphasis of the gospel message. It's not about politics. It's not about what we can do or what strengths we have. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ and his gift to the world. What is his gift? His gift is eternal life. His gift is redemption. See, we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. There are struggles all around us. Maybe you don't have any. Praise God for that. Seriously. But, you know, I could be like Adam. I say, "Well, you know, Lord, that woman you gave me." Oh, no, I'm not supposed to say that, am I? But we all know, humor aside, we all have struggles. There are earthly battles each and every day. Sometimes it's hard just to make ends meet. Sometimes it's hard to get along with people. Sometimes it's hard to even believe in what we can do and trust in what we have. And so we live in this difficult age where oftentimes maybe we think that the world is way more powerful. And maybe we think we don't need this relationship with God. But actually, the gospel comes to share with you that God desires a relationship with you, no matter what your thought process may be. That he gave you life. Not one of us did anything to will our life here. Each and every one of us has been made unique. Out of the billions of people on earth, nobody is like you. Nobody has your fingerprint. Nothing. We did nothing for this. God gifted us life. And so when you turn and you look at what the gospel says, it says that God so loved you, he gave himself for you. So then, we're given this glimpse about the light, continuing on where the kids left off. There was a man that was sent. He didn't take this upon himself. He didn't do it himself. This man was sent by God. So God sent a messenger. He says, whose name was John. So God sends John, and he came as a witness. He entered into this world as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him, through his testimony. What's your name? I know, you looked at me, your name's Scott, right? Yours is Judy. Mine's Jesse. We have been called by God. Each and every one of us, to bear testimony of Christ Jesus in this world. Because this world is full of darkness. This world is full of antagonizing, bitter people that are always bumping about each other. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you don't have a TV and you haven't turned it on and listened to the news. Maybe you don't listen to the radio. Maybe you don't go on that Facebook thing or that Twitter thing or whatever else it would be. Or it's X now, I guess. But this is the same position that we are called to as ambassadors of this gospel, to enter into a world and to share with the world that God desires relationship, that God loves you. And that's what these children did. Young adults down to children. They shared with you the light of the gospel, that there is a hope much bigger than what we see around us. And so it says that John was sent by God to bear witness of this light, that all would believe through him. And it makes it very well and clear. He wasn't that light. I am not the light. You are not the light. But it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If I go out into this world and I start representing myself to everybody as a pastor, man, we're going to have one sad church. If Pastor Scott goes down to Nagani now and starts deciding, I'm going to show him what Scott Sepala thinks, I feel bad for Nagani. And I know he won't do that. Because we are empowered with the Spirit to share the love of the gospel, the redeeming work of Christ Jesus, to be a light in a world that so desperately needs to hear it. Have you had any difficulty this year? I have. And mine probably isn't as big as yours. The world has experienced a lot of difficulty in the last few years, hasn't they? They truly have. And they need hope. They need a light. And so we bring this message to them. Not that we represent ourselves. He says he was not that light. He says, but he came to bear witness about the light, the true light, Jesus the Christ, which gave light to everyone. Hi, Myra. He came to give light to everyone. Look at the light in little Myra's eyes. She's got the joy of the Lord. People get nervous, you know, because, well, the children should be silent. They should this. Look at the joy. Maybe we should be like them. To understand and know the love of God and the light that he gives to each and every one of us, that we would have this hope. Watch those littles when they're singing. They just have that joy coming forth. And sometimes Jesse walks around like everybody licked the frosting off his cake and he's got a sour puss. You know, oh, poor me. You know what? We are the children of a king. But do we take full advantage of it? Well, I can't go to church. You know, there are them hypocrites there. Don't worry. We got room for one more. Look around. The reality of it is it's not that we come to church because it's perfect people. It's actually because we're imperfect that we come so that we can receive of God and worship him. It's like if you were to wait for your child to be perfect before you actually love them, how great would that be? Are your children perfect every day? That would be difficult, wouldn't it? But we love them. And in our love, we build that relationship where they become stronger and stronger on their own. And so, it says very plainly, he said, Now, he came to bear witness of that true light, which gives life, light, to everyone that was coming into the world. And it says very plainly, don't think that he was just created. He was in the world, and actually everything you see was created. The Gospel of John chapter 1, which we're in, but the first beginning part, talks very much about Christ Jesus being there in the very beginning. He knows you. He created you. He loves you. And so he says, he was in the world, the world was made through him, but yet the world didn't know him. Because it's fallen. It can't understand him according to its own will, its own way. And so he came down, and he actually came down to his own people, to the Israelites. And he came down to them, and they didn't receive him. There wasn't a wholehearted, yay, hallelujah. He did not come in the fashion that people believe God should come in. And that's often our problem. We think God should do this, or God should do this, or not do this, or not do this. He came, and he surrendered his right for you and I. He didn't follow the religion of men. He didn't keep every statute that man created. And this ticked off a lot of people. Because next thing you know, he was doing good things on the Sabbath day. Next thing you know, he was touching people that maybe we shouldn't associate with. Next thing you know, he was hanging out with them. And I have a tough time with this too. Those IRS agents, the tax collectors. But he didn't come for politics. He came to redeem us, to love us, to encourage us. That's what these children are sharing with you. The light of this world that reveals the goodness of God. He says, they didn't receive him, but there were some. At that point, there were some that followed, that believed. Remember, the apostles were all Israelites. And so you turn around and you understand. He says, you know what? But all who did receive them, who actually believed and trusted in his name, he gave them the right, or you could say the word privilege here. We have a privilege to be the children of God. It's so powerful. He says they weren't born of blood. It wasn't whose boy you are. That's what we love in our group. Whose boy are you? Oh, you got to be good, you know? That's what we often do. So it wasn't because they were born into a special family or the will of the flesh. In other words, now I'm going to work my way to the salvation. Because that's what we often think. I'm not good enough. That's not what Jesus was looking for. He says, or the will of men, that we would fit into the man's category, the man's religion. That's not what Jesus came for. He came to set us free. But not freedom to serve self, that's once again bondage. But free to serve one another in Christ. That we can love unconditionally. That we can encourage unconditionally. That's hard. Sometimes my kids do things that I don't want to still love them unconditionally. But you know what? I can't help it. They're my own. I love them. Have you ever experienced that? Your children do things maybe that you're just not quite up on, you're just not really endorsing. But your love for them gives you patience. And it causes you just to pray all the more. He says, all who believed in his name, he gave the right to be the children of God, the privilege to be children of God, who were born not of this blood, in other words, whose boy, not of the will of what they could do, not the will of man, he says, but of God. God did this work. God has given all things. And he says, and the word became flesh. That's Jesus. He became flesh, right? And he dwelt among us. They had him on earth here for 33 years about, right? 3 years of ministry. And he's turning around. John's sharing with us, I seen him. I know him. I know whose boy he is. Because that's what we like, right? But he says, we actually hung out with him. We saw him walk on water. We saw him heal the withered hand. We saw him give sight to the blind. We saw him. We saw his glory, his magnification of who he is. He says, really, the only Son of God. He says, and he was full of grace and truth. Is that what you hear of Jesus in this day and age, especially from the outside? That he is full of grace and truth. First of all, we don't like the truth anymore. We just don't. As human beings, we listen to propaganda everywhere. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. We have a tendency to cling to the propaganda that makes sense to us. But do we forget about God's truth? God's truth. And do we forget about grace? Unmerited favor. Not something I've worked for, not something I can make you work for, but rather God loves us. He says, and John bore witness about him. He cried out. He says, look, don't look at me, John is saying. Look to him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin debt of the world. Our pulpit should be proclaiming this all the more. Don't look to me. Don't look to a group. Don't look to anybody else. Look to Jesus Christ, the Lamb that takes the sin debt from you. From you. He says, you know, John proclaimed this, and he said, and I told you, I wasn't even worthy to touch his sandals. He's so above me because he's before me. He says, in his, from his fullness, he says, from what Christ gives, what do we receive? Grace upon grace. That sounds so quick. We say it so fast. Grace upon grace. Wow, that's cool. What is it? It's something that we're scared of. Immeasurable grace. We have been given immeasurable grace. And I thank God for that. Probably not enough. I'd like to say it each and every day, but Jesse forgets just as anybody else. But I need immeasurable grace. Because you know what? Left to my own devices, I'm an immeasurable sinner. I screw up all the time. I screwed up probably 3 times in this message alone. But we stand here in the presence of a congregation in the grace. In grace. My wife has to have grace for me at least once a month. Once a day? Once an hour? Oof. But you get it. But this is what he says. It's immeasurable. What God has done through Christ Jesus, revealing this light, is immeasurable. He says, because we understand the law was given through Moses. And we failed. It's not that the law failed, it's that human beings could not keep it. And God knew that. But grace and truth, unmerited favor, came through Christ Jesus. No one has ever seen God. He says, only the God. He says, actually, who is at the Father's side? He says, in other words, the only one that actually can give testimony of this is Christ Jesus himself. Even Moses, in all his glory, did not see God. He just saw the hinder quarters, and he, in reality, had to be veiled because he just shined so much. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what these kids shared with you, these young adults, the teachers, and everybody, it's not about the religion of men. It's God loves you. God desires for relationship with you. And God doesn't desire just half an hour, 28 minutes on a Sunday. God desires that we would have this relationship each and every day. But that we would not forsake the assembling of togetherness, as some would, because we need encouragement from the body also. The body. It's awesome to see you all here. It truly is. And I'm not here to fill my pews. I don't care. I mean, I do care. Please don't think I don't. But I don't care where you go. It's not about a competition. It's about you and I having that stable relationship with the God the Father in a darkened world. That we would have that light and that hope embraced in our life. That we would have a relationship with other believers. That we could be strengthened for tomorrow. Because I'll tell you what, salvation is a done deal. God's got that covered. But day-to-day life can have its struggles. Our marriages, our families, our businesses, our mental status, all kinds of things, our spiritual battles. And God has given us the body that we all would have help for one another. When one member hurts, it says the whole body hurts. And you are an important piece of that body. Maybe nobody's made you feel that way before, and I apologize for that. But the reality of it is, he says very plainly, this is what God has done. You want to see the true light? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not give his Son to condemn the world, but rather that this world would be saved through him. It's all about Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus. So please, enjoy your gift. Thank you guys for coming up here singing, probably doing what you really didn't want to do. But sometimes I don't want to get up here either. But it's a testimony for God that we worship him. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word today. And we thank you, Father, for these students that have come together to share your light with us. And we pray, Father, for each and every one that's hurting, each and every one that doesn't understand or maybe is bitter. We pray that you would give us a peace, that you would give us an assurance, and allow us to know your love in spite of a dark world. Allow us to see your light and be encouraged. Father, help us heal. Help us grow and help us glorify you, for you are so good. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.